Good evening. Welcome back. So nice to see you. Are you more rested? A little bit anyway, huh? Oh man, Kitty. So glad you lived to tell the tale. A tiny group tonight. We had the whole place was filled up last week, completely. And I missed that childish voice. It was so sweet. Maya came and joined in the chanting. Very, very beautiful. So we're almost finished with Suzuki Roshi. So I hope you all are thinking. Dan has made some suggestions, and I hope you all will make some suggestions also, so that in a couple of weeks we can decide what to do next. But in the meantime, we can start reading.
Beyond consciousness.
Yes. Yes, page 127.
Beyond consciousness. To realize pure mind in your delusion is practice. If you try to expel the delusion, it will only persist the more. Just say, oh, this is just delusion, and do not be bothered by it. We should establish our practice where there is no practice or enlightenment. As long as we practice Zazen in the area where there is practice and enlightenment, there is no chance to make perfect peace for ourselves. In other words, we must firmly believe in our true nature. Our true nature is beyond our conscious experience. It is only in our conscious experience that we find practice and enlightenment, or good and bad. But whether or not we have experience of our true nature, which exists there, beyond consciousness, actually exists. And it is there that we have to establish the foundation of our practice.
Even to have a good thing in your mind is not so good. Buddha sometimes said, you should be like this. You want to actually do not emphasize the sitting posture alone. How to sit is how to act. We study how to act by sitting. Maybe for the next thing we'll just read the book back.
It sounded good.
What did you believe? I said, yeah, can you? Should I do the eating thing?
Yes.
Wasn't I just doing that?
I don't know.
You were, but just something else came in there.
Oh, okay. Even have a good thing in your mind is not so good. Buddha sometimes said you should be like this. You want to.
Oh, here, he flipped the page. You're reading in Arabic. You're going
like,
yeah, this way.
Why don't you take it?
I do read in Arabic. Let me go
there. Somebody do Passover here.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. That's just what it is.
That's it.
You ought not to be like that. But to have what he says in your mind is not so good. It is a kind of burden for you, and you may not actually feel so good. In fact, to harbor some ill will maybe even be better than to have some idea in your mind of what is good or of what you ought to do. To have some
mischievous
idea in your mind is something very agreeable. That is true. Actually, good and bad is not the point. Whether or not you make yourself peaceful is the point, and whether or not you stick to it.
When you have something in your consciousness, you do not have perfect composure. The best way towards perfect composure is to forget everything. Then your mind is calm. And it is wide and clear enough to see and feel things as they are without any effort. The best way to find perfect composure is not to retain any idea of things. whatever they may be, to forget all about them and not to leave any trace or shadow of thinking. But if you try to stop your mind or try to go beyond your conscious activity, that will only be another burden for you. I have to stop my mind and my practice, but I cannot. My practice is not so good. This kind of idea is also the wrong way of practice. Do not try to stop your mind, but leave everything as it is. Then things will not stay in your mind so long. Things will come as they come and go as they go. Then eventually your clear, empty mind will last fairly long.
So, to have a firm conviction in the original emptiness of your mind is the most important thing in your practice. In Buddhist scripture, we sometimes use vast analogies in an attempt to describe empty mind. Sometimes, we use an astronomically great number, so great it is beyond counting. This means to give up calculating. If it is so great that you cannot count it, then you will lose your interest and eventually give up. This kind of description may also give rise to a kind of interest in the innumerable number, which will help you to stop the thinking of your small mind.
But it is when you sit in Zazen that you will have the most pure, genuine experience of the empty state of mind. Actually, emptiness of mind is not even a state of mind, but the original essence of mind which Buddha and the six patriarchs experienced. Essence of mind, original face, Buddha nature, emptiness. All these words mean the absolute calmness of our mind.
You know how to rest physically, you do not know how to rest mentally. Even though you lie in your bed, your mind is still busy. Even if you sleep, your mind is busy dreaming. Your mind is always in intense activity. This is not so good. We should know how to give up our thinking mind, our busy mind. In order to go beyond our thinking faculty, it is necessary to have a firm conviction in the emptiness of your mind. Believing firmly in the perfect rest of our mind, we should resume our pure original state.
Dogen Zen, she said, you should establish your practice in your delusion. Even though you might think you are in delusion, your pure mind is there. To realize pure mind in your delusion is practice. If you have pure mind, essential mind, in your delusion, the delusion will vanish. It cannot stay when we say, this is illusion. It will be very much ashamed. It will run away. So you should establish your practice in your delusion. To have delusion is practice. This is to attain enlightenment before you realize it. Even though you do not realize it, you have it. So when you say, this is delusion, that is actually enlightenment itself. If you try to expel the delusion, it will only persist the more, and your mind will become busier and busier trying to cope with it. That is not so good. Just say, oh, this is just delusion, and do not be bothered by it. When you just observe the delusion, you have your true mind, your calm, peaceful mind. When you start to cope with it, you will be involved in delusion.
So whether or not you attain enlightenment, just to sit in Zazen is enough. When you try to attain enlightenment, then you have a big burden on your mind. Your mind will not be clear enough to see things as they are. If you truly see things as they are, then you will see things as they should be. On the one hand, we should attain enlightenment. That is how things should be. But on the other hand, as long as we are physical beings, in reality, it is pretty hard to attain enlightenment. That is how things actually are in this moment. If we start to sit, both sides of our nature will be brought up, and we will see things both as they are and as they should be. Because we are not good right now, we want to be better. But when we attain the transcendental mind, we go beyond things as they are and as they should be. In the emptiness of our original mind, they are one. And there we find our perfect composure.
Usually, religion develops itself in the realm of consciousness, seeking to perfect its organization, building beautiful buildings, creating music, evolving a philosophy, and so forth. These are religious activities in the conscious world. But Buddhism emphasizes the world of unconsciousness. The best way to develop Buddhism is to sit in zazen, just to sit, with a firm conviction in our true nature. This way is much better than to read books or study the philosophy of Buddhism. Of course, it is necessary to study the philosophy. It will strengthen your conviction. Buddhist philosophy is so universal and logical that it is not just the philosophy of Buddhism, but of life itself. The purpose of Buddhist teaching is to point to life itself existing beyond consciousness in our pure original mind. All Buddhist practices were built up to protect this true teaching, not to propagate Buddhism in some wonderful mystic way. So, when we discuss religion, it should be in the most common and universal way. We should not try to propagate our way by wonderful philosophical thought. In some ways, Buddhism is rather polemical, with some feeling of controversy ahead, because the Buddhist must protect his way from mystic or magical interpretations of religion. But philosophical discussion will not be the best way to understand Buddhism. If you want to be a sincere Buddhist, the best way is to sit. We are very fortunate to have a place to sit in this way. I want you to have a firm, wide, imperturbable conviction in your zazen of just sitting. Just to sit, that is enough.
There are an awful lot of shoulds in here. For someone who said, don't worry about the shoulds, it's a curious chapter. This all was edited material from his talks, and it feels edited, this one, a bit. And yet it's very wise as well. I'm reading a very interesting book called The Spell of the Sensuous by Mark Abram, David Abram. Carolyn told me about it, Carolyn Dilley. It's interesting for writers because he talks about language, but his basic premise is about the body and about being a body in the world. It's fascinating because he's a magician who is an anthropologist. And when he goes to South Sea Islands to study culture, he brings his coins and his balls and his colored handkerchiefs and engages with the shamans where he goes. And in doing that, he began to realize that there was a greater depth in his understanding of a culture and also of his understanding of what it is to be human. That it's first of all being a body. It's just what we keep emphasizing in our studies in Zen, that all these ideas and philosophies are one thing, but the real thing is this permeable receiving and sending blob of protoplasm that we are, with bones inside to hold us up so we don't melt all over the floor. But the mystery is that we can't separate ourselves from everything else. And in fact, if we really analyze our life as a body, we have to see that we are everything else, or everything else is me, which is the truth of it. He said the body is a sort of open circuit that completes itself in things and others. Without boundaries, an open form. He said, in everyday life, we are completely participating in the dynamic of everything, and yet our knowledge is always limited and partial. It's our wish always to know as much as we possibly can. And when we begin as babies, we are a tiny world. And as we grow and learn, our world itself gets bigger and bigger and bigger, so that by now we know so many things. And yet every bit of what we know is partial. So that our big wish to transcend ourselves, you could say, to transcend the body, or our messed up life, the life that keeps making mistakes and stumbling and not knowing where it's going, that there must be some pure place where we can perfect ourselves. But if we really study our situation, we have to see that the place where we are is the perfection itself. As it is, the very first few lines of the Genjo Koan that Dogen wrote explain this a bit in Buddhist terms. He said, when all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, there is delusion and realization, practice, life and death, Buddhas and living beings. All these things. When all dharmas are the Buddha Dharma, everything is a teaching, and all the teaching tells us this is good, this is bad, this is delusion, this is realization, all the things that Suzuki Roshi is talking about. This is how it is. So that's one when. There's another when all dharmas are not fixed self. There's no delusion, no living beings, no birth, and no death. It's only when we have a fixed self that we're creating this world around us of ideas about how things are. If we loosen up ourselves and allow it to be permeable and unfixed, then we begin to see that beyond all of our judgments, life goes on as it is. And the as it isness is Buddha itself. So the third sentence is, since the Buddha way by nature goes beyond the dichotomy of abundance and deficiency, there is arising and perishing, delusion and realization, living beings and Buddha. Therefore, flowers fall even though we love them, and weeds grow even though we dislike them. We have to accept that things are the way they are, and yet, of course, our own delusional nature that loves the flowers and hates the weeds is, here we are. And this is Buddha as itself. Roshi is also talking about the Dogen about ways of understanding and experiencing different kinds of mind. You know, we have the superficial mind and we have the sort of social mind. We all speak the same language, we have the same customs. Jung says we have a deeper mind that we also have in common with everyone. But even deeper than that, in Buddhist terms, is pure nature itself. It's where we came from, you could say. Buddha nature. Or sometimes they simply call it light. So when we think about our life, it seems full of so many things, hundreds and thousands and millions of things. And yet, even with all those things, we can't really know them. And even with all those things, it's all a part of all of it. Coben said to someone once, "I'm so glad you're in my world." I thought that was so nice. And he said, "Well, I'm so glad you're in my world too." And that's how it is with us. And how we're able to meet and flow with what goes is our practice. Kodo Sawaki said, "A period of sitting is being the continuity of the whole universe, a part of the whole universe." Then Coben said, "Instead of interpreting what you are supposed to be toward all existence, you return to the part to which you belong. We are nameless beings, and yet that doesn't mean you don't exist." So our original purity, the peace that we are and be and have, lose sight of often, but is never gone, is what we are. So for all the shoulds, really all he's saying is, sit zazen. Questions? Yeah.
Do you remember how long it took us to get through that book?
No, we could count all the chapters. We haven't even read the whole book. We skipped the first section.
It seems like a year. Doesn't it?
There's one more chapter.
Oh, that chapter. This is another book. Usually it goes for books that are good.
Yeah, we went through Shantideva very, very fast, and we're going through Suzuki Roshi like a snail. I'll think of something else that we can go through.
We can do it again, Ross.
Oh, good idea. Let's do it again.
With all the experience and all the ideas.
Samuel?
So the delusion part, is it basically he's saying that it is all a delusion?
Our whole idea about who we are is, and all of our problems and all the so-called kleshas, the jealousies and the angers and the, all the messy stuff, it's all made up. And it's life.
It almost seems like it works, you know, trying to bring yourself back, you know, through your day and the losing side of where we're at. And I've been trying to work with that recently just to make myself feel better. You know, if I stray too far, okay, that was a delusion. It's okay, come back.
Yes.
And it seems to work.
Yes.
So it's not a shortcut. This is what it really is. I mean, when it just doesn't feel right, it's a delusion. And when it hits you and it feels right, there it is.
Yes.
Simple as that.
It's as simple as that. It's just like Zazen. We just drift off and make up stories and then come back and remember where we are. And then we don't have to be something in particular. Julian?
In terms of delusion, what exactly... I wasn't thinking necessarily of delusion as like what we're going through when we're not liking something that's happening to us. Or I think isn't my interpretation was kind of like a wider kind of thing about like everything our experience. But,
well, there are many layers of it. It's the stories we tell ourselves. No, we throw up clouds of many colored clouds between us and what we're experiencing, and it's often based on our sense of ourself, our self-importance, and then we get into an entanglement with our idea of ourself, which gets in the way of actually experiencing what's happening. So that then we start judging other people, judging ourselves, deciding what we like and don't like about. And the self itself is the biggest delusion. There's something here. Something is living here. Some vast energetic that is full of love and wisdom, and we call it me and you, but when we become possessive about it and about our experience and try to make more of it than is actually personal to us, then we get all mixed up and we get angry, depressed, too proud, too selfish, you know, all the things. They're all based on a sense of me as something special, rather than being able to see through how the whole thing is bigger than that. And more transparent. So if the light is shining through everything that you see, then where's the problem? Well, it's 8.